hump day.
That's right. Welcome back, everybody. You've tuned in to Real Laughs. It is hump day Wednesday. Devin is out for the rest of the week. That means you are stuck with me and my partner in crime, Miguel Colon Jr., up in the Heezy. That's right. We're going to have a good time, but don't forget to go to iTunes. Look us up under the podcast section, Real Laughs. This year, we're going to be doing some swag bag giveaways. We got new shirts, new hats, and stickers coming your way, so be sure to sign up. And you guys can check us out at the iHeart app, too, as well. Be sure to look up all the past episodes. If you've missed anything, you can look it up right then and there. I'm also joined with KC, our engineer. He's in the house with us. That's right. We're going to do some crazy stuff. Now, everybody knows we're comedians, right? Everybody knows that what we do is comedy. But what people don't realize is it's not all fun and games, Miguel. We don't get to just tell jokes all day, get people to love us, and, you know, just enjoy life all the time. No, there's work that goes into being this stand-up comedians. People don't see the behind the scenes. Like, when we're not on stage, we are at a computer begging for dates via email, Facebook Messenger.
How many emails do you think you send out a year? And you're booked about, what, 40 weeks out of the year?
45.
So you're booked about 45 weeks out of the year. But, so let's say that's 40, let's say out of 45 bookings a year.
How many no's
you probably, and let's say you probably get offered 65 gigs. So, you know, there's about 20 weeks that you have to say no to because you're already booked.
That's right.
So let's say you take 45 bookings. You get offered another 20 that are offered to you. Not even you're reaching out.
I didn't reach out to them. They looked
me
up.
They came to you. Absolutely. And, you know, some of them you take, some of them you can't.
Yeah.
But how many actual emails do you think you send out to venues? Or how many venues do you think you send emails out to?
I have a list of 100 venues, and I reach out to every single one.
Every single one of them.
Every single one
of them. And let's take in consideration that out of the 45 weeks you're booked or so, some of those you probably aren't even reaching out to because they've already been like, hey, James, next year I want you back August.
And I can't come back in the next 2 months, so I don't even reach out to those people.
Right.
But I'm still sending out hundreds.
Hundreds.
It has to be a couple hundred a month because that's how you got to do it.
Yeah.
You got to be on it. You don't just write them and they write you right back. No, you have to keep on it. Like, hey, I know you're terribly busy, but I'd love to have an opportunity, a chance to start a professional relationship with you and your club. I've heard nothing but good things about it. You can check my references with this person that works there. And here's my clip. Here's my credits. Here's what I've done. So if you can please give me an opportunity, I'd love to come to your club. Like, it's that all day.
Do you know, I was kicking it with a buddy of mine.
Yeah.
My buddy, Charlie Classic.
Charlie Classic?
Charlie Classic. What up, man? And Charlie has close to like 500,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah, he's killing it. Yeah.
He's killing it. He's not a stand-up comic. He's an internet comedian doing like internet videos.
But he makes great comedic videos, man.
Great comedic content. Yeah. And it's so heartbreaking because on numerous occasions, Charlie has hit me up like, hey, man, you ever heard of like governors in New York? And
oh
I'm like,
God.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. I'm like,
yes.
I've been writing them letters for 4 years.
Four years.
Like, oh, man, you should come with me because they keep hitting me up. You mother. I mean,
that's the game.
That's the game. Part of the game now is following. It's always been that way, but we didn't have a metric to judge it.
But social media gave us that
metric. Social media gave us the
metric. That's right, absolutely.
Because before, what you would do is show, I have a fan base of this much.
It was called a fan base, not a following.
And you would tell them, and to do it, you'd have to prove to them, be like, hey, let me come and do your show this time. Show you how many people I can put in.
That's right.
And then 6 months or a year later, you can bring me back and I'll get a door deal or whatever.
And think about the investment that was.
Yeah.
Brother, I'll come in one time, not make a lot of money to prove to you. And then 6 months to a year later, I can come do the club. Like, that's an investment,
It's
man.
A huge investment.
Yeah.
Have you, the Ohio improvs and stuff. There's a booker we all know, good guy, and he books all like Ohio and all that.
Well, talk about that. People don't know this.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. I'm sorry.
No, go.
World famous improv. We all know the improv. They're everywhere in every state. They're some of they have some of the biggest names come there and perform. But if you are a guy like us and you're just trying to feature for them, meaning you're the middle act after the MC goes on and before the headliner comes
on. And before that too, if you're a feature for a place like the Improv, it means you're a headliner everywhere
else. Yes.
You know,
that's how that works.
You just don't have enough, you don't have the huge enough following, TV credits or whatever they're looking for.
Credits. It's about credits. It's credits get you followers. If you don't have a big enough TV credit, haven't been seen over and over again on a sitcom.
Don't have hundreds of thousands of followers.
Yes. So what you have to do as a feature, if you want to work most of the improvs, there's a guy that's located in Ohio. Mm-hmm. I won't say his name.
Yeah, and we're blowing him up, man, with phone calls.
Yeah. And you have to go audition at his improv club where he lives to be able to feature around the country at other improv.
You got
to
fly
even
over there.
Even our own Orlando Improv, our home club, we have to go to him to try out. And
to
that
fly all the way out there, stay in a hotel to do 5 minutes. Here's the worst part. They might hit you back up with, can you come back next month?
Yes.
I'm not sure. I want to see another five from you.
And keep in mind, you are doing all this on your own dime.
On your own dime.
Your own dime.
Every penny, that flight you paid, the hotel room you paid, they didn't even hook you up with a meal at the improv when you came there.
No, they did not.
And it's 2-drink minimum. If you stayed for the show, you bought 2 drinks.
As the guy that's going to audition.
Yes. Yeah.
That's right. And the weed you bought off the cook, you just got to pay for that.
Still got to pay for it. Yes. It's not like headliner weed that's free.
No, headliner weed is free.
Headliner weed is free.
Yes, man.
Offered to you. Please, smoke my weed. You were hilarious.
But people don't realize, man, that's part of the game of us trying to get dates.
Yeah.
And that's just only part of it, man. There's other places that are independently run clubs in the Midwest that we talked about.
Yeah.
And you have to get them, convince them from Florida that you are a guy that'll do a good job in their club as well.
Here's another one. Me and James, and I think Devin does the same thing, when we send emails out to these clubs, it's a reply from the last email so that we have a chain of how many times we emailed.
We talked about
them.
My chain.
Yeah. Yeah. James, you've had one that would like 100 emails from what? From like 19 or from like 2000?
2012.
2012.
To 2019. That is 7 years, people.
7 years of applying.
7 years of the same
like
email.
Like every 3 months, too. Every three months or so.
I hit it up multiple times a month.
Yeah.
And I've been writing this guy, and he will always hit me back. I'll give him credit most of the time, and he'll say the same thing. Got it. Keep sending me your avails.
Yeah.
And that's what it's called when you send him your availability. It's called your avails. And I've been writing this guy for 7 years. The people that came up, some of the folks I've worked with where they opened up for me work for his club, but he has not given me an opportunity to work in his club yet. But that's part of the game as well.
That's it too. They just sometimes they just don't like what they're seeing. And it's not that, and you know you could rock a crowd out, but at the end of the day, if he's got a choice between two guys who rock the crowd out, he's gonna pick the one he likes.
If they just like something about him. Some bookers are creatures of habit. They like the same people in their club, 365.
Yeah.
That's who they like. These guys are dependable. Nothing against those guys. They do a good job. So you know what? It's the guy I'm giving work to.
One of the most heartbreaking ones too is when they finally hit you up and they're like, okay, send me your headshot, your resume, everything, your avails. You're like, cool, your bio. You send it to them, and then you get ghosted again.
Yes!
And you're like, no, I was right there. I'll tell you the truth. With this cruise ship that I booked.
Congratulations on that,
brother.
Thank you,
man. Thank you, brother, man. And I will give a shout out to Jersey the Hot Comic, who was the one who gave me the information and put a good word in. So I really appreciate that. But the cruise ship last year, Jersey had hit me up. Said, hey, man, I put a good word in for you. The guy's really excited.
Yeah.
The guy, I sent the guy email. He was like, great. This was 2017. He was
two years ago.
Almost. He was like, great, send me a video. And I was like, cool. So I sent the video and everything. And he goes, send me another video. I need more video. Yeah. I was like, okay. And then never heard back from him.
Yeah.
And then I emailed, never heard back from him. Kind of gave up, but still emailed. Just in the heart gave up.
Yeah, in the heart.
In the heart gave up. It was just emailing again.
I'm there with you.
And you know, you change. I basically go into the email, kind of fix a paragraph here and there, make it look, so it looks a little different.
Yeah.
So it doesn't get, and nothing. Then, 3 weeks ago, I just sent another email, and I was like, okay. And then last week, on Wednesday, the guy called me up and was like, hey, man, can't believe I just hadn't hit you back up. He's like, I'd seen this about a year ago, liked it, just had everything booked already.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he wasn't like, forgot me. Mm-hmm. He just didn't need me at the time. But then this is the other thing that you get hit with in this comedy game. He's like, would love to put you on this cruise boat. Money is great. It's a cruise boat. As you know, doing a cruise boat is such a step for us, man, when it comes career-wise.
Money-wise. Okay, let's say this. Let's be honest. It's life-changing money.
It's life-changing money.
Yeah, it is.
If you end up booking them right, like right now.
And that's not an exaggeration.
Right now, I'm in month-changing money.
Yeah.
But if it goes right,
it's life-changing money.
It's tax bracket changer.
Yeah, it is. It's like, I got to get an accountant.
Yeah, it's really big like that. But this is the comedy life, too. The dude hit me up Wednesday last week. Mind you, you're hearing this from me now, but I'm on the boat already because we recorded. But he hit me up Wednesday last week and was like, cool, everything's good. But here's the deal. I had a headliner who can't make his gig next week. Can you leave next week and be gone for 2 weeks? And so I had to change things in my life that were a very hard decision to make. Mind you also, and he's like, but I'm not going to know until Saturday for sure.
Oh, my God.
So I had to make decisions to tell people things like, I'm not going to be able to do this. I have to cancel on this. It's not knowing for sure.
You didn't have a guarantee.
No.
And you still had to cancel.
No prenup.
We won't prenup.
We won't prenup. Yeah. And I still had to cancel a couple things and not take a couple gigs and things and put things on hold that pay my bills.
Yes.
So up until Saturday, man, yeah. I was on pins and needles like, oh, God.
We talked about it. We did a show Wednesday. Yeah, man.
And so, but that's part of the comedy game too. Like when you're at a position where comedy is going to be your source of like income.
Yes. Now,
some of the decisions you make are terrifying.
Yes, they are.
I mean, it's basically the same kind of entrepreneur stuff that any entrepreneur
goes
through.
Leaps of faith.
Leaps of faith.
And you're like, please, Lord, please don't let me get kicked out of my house.
Yeah. and like people tell you the hardest part is it's not even leaps of faith about yourself. You have to have faith in a person you've never met before. To come through with a deal,
yes,
that you haven't even got paperwork for,
that has no vested interest in your well-being.
Nothing vested. That's why good bookers truly deserve a praise, because it's easier to be a crappy booker.
It's easier to be a scumbag.
It's easier to be a scumbag.
You're so right about that.
It's easier to be a scumbag. So right.
And a place that we just worked with Sonny's, man. I'll shout them out.
Great
Love you, by the way. Talked about you the whole weekend.
Comedy Zone Room, man.
Treat every comic right. They don't treat anybody. And what I mean by that, when you walk in, you're not just a number. They treat you right. They want to make sure you're okay. They don't take any disrespect. They don't care how famous you may be. Yeah. You don't act up in that club and come back.
We
they
heard
don't
some
care.
Stories about famous guys.
Yeah.
That some of the guys we haven't worked with, some of the guys we know just because we know
win
people.
The game, yeah.
That were heartbreaking.
They were heartbreaking.
Because Eric, the guy who runs the Comedy Zone, those guys... I mean, they treat me. I'm
top
a feature
notch.
Over there.
Top
like,
notch,
yeah, everything.
Man.
They want to make sure everything's fine with you.
That's right.
And we heard stories about guys not being difficult, being straight up jerks.
Yeah,
jerks. One guy's manager was telling them that their floor in their kitchen was too dirty.
Because the guy we have coming in, and I can't use the exact wording because I want to give it away.
Yeah,
you don't understand his importance to your generation.
He's the greatest thing you've ever seen. The Sinatra of blah blah, and it's like, bro, it's the kitchen. He's not even gonna be in the kitchen yet.
Yeah.
And they're telling us that this happened hours before they were open. You know, this is prep kitchen now with lettuce on the floor and stuff.
Yes.
Somebody hasn't sweeped it all up. Like, and this place is a top notch steakhouse.
Beautiful. They make their own pasta.
Yeah.
By hand. Yeah, a homemade pasta. Everything there is just gourmet.
So imagine
everything
you show
there.
Up at like 2 p.m. This place is only open for dinner. You walk in the kitchen and there's a little bit of produce on the floor because guess what? They're chopping fresh produce.
Exactly.
No filth, no anything.
You maniac.
And the guy, and the guy's making it seem like there's lettuce on the floor. I can't have him coming in here. First of all, they're like, he's not coming in the kitchen.
Yes.
And what the hell is your problem?
And that's the thing, too. One thing I want to talk about real quick before we go.
Yeah,
we got like a minute left. There is a change in power.
Yeah.
For jerk bookers when we, the comic, get to a certain level of fame and then the power is given to us.
Yes.
There's a certain there's a certain power switch where they're like, hey, buddy. You're like, no.
Yeah.
No. We could have been buddies.
Yeah, man, we could
have. Yeah. Hey, buddy, how about a discount? No. There's no discount. You pay this.
Yeah.
And why are you talking to me? I have a manager.
Yeah, exactly.
There is a power switch. You're like, yeah, kiss the ring, bitch.
Because, I mean, it's nuts. It's nuts. Dealing with bookers, that's what I said. It's easier to be a scumbag, so I really appreciate the good bookers.
Yeah, I do appreciate the good bookers, man. You guys know who you are. There's a few, man, I'll shout out real quick. A guy, Bill Alcott, gave my very first headlining date, and that's at Winter Circle in Lakeland. Gave my very first one. And I want to shout out Comedy Zone. They gave me my first headlining date at Vasani. So, we're doing good. And, dude, they love you. They want you back.
Yeah,
so
I love Comedy Zone,
you guys
got
to look out for Miguel Colon Jr. coming back to that place. But don't go anywhere. We have more Real Laughs when we get back.
Guys, it's me, Miguel, from Real Laughs on Real Radio, and I love to have a good time, but I also like to take something serious. And something you should take serious is getting your house painted. I was in the home repair business. I have seen some hack jobs done. I have seen some people ruin homes because they went ahead and hired the cheapest guy to do a paint job and not the best guy. That's why I'm proud to stand by AAA All-Star Painting. My good buddy Jason Yates handles all the business for AAA All-Star Painting. He makes sure that you get quality jobs as well as getting the greatest price possible with his crew. AAA All-Star Painting has all licenses. They're bonded. They're the kind of company that you can trust for any work you want done. That's why when I need anything painted, be it my mother's house, my father's place, anything, I reach out to AAA All-Star Painting and I call my buddy Jason Yates at 321-624-2228. Trust me, you don't want to put something like painting your home or your business in the hands of the cheapest person possible. You want to choose somebody that has quality work, uses the best paints, and you can trust. And there's nobody, nobody I trust more than AAA All-Star Painting. So call my good buddy Jason Yates at 321-624-2228 for all your home painting or commercial painting needs.
This is Dan Cummins telling you to listen to Real Laughs on 104.1, especially James Yon. He's the funniest one of the bunch.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. It is Hump Day, and you are tuned in to Real Laughs. Now, guys, don't forget you can go on iTunes. Look for us under the podcast section. You guys can subscribe to that. Please go do that. We will be doing some giveaways, some swag giveaways. We got brand new hats. We got T-shirts and stickers we're going to be giving away for people who sign up for the podcast on iTunes. So do that. And you can always look us up on iHeart as well. Go to all our past shows and listen to how hilarious we are. And then come out and see us perform live at a stand-up comedy club. I wanted to talk to you guys before I do the introductions. I got my man Miguel Colon Jr. in the house.
What up? What up?
All right, right. And I'm James Young. That's right. Devin had to be out for the rest of the week. Now, I saw something a little disturbing this week. And Casey, I bet you heard about it, too. Now, we all heard about Bill Cosby and his allegations. He went to prison for all the things that he did.
Convicted, yo, yeah.
Convicted. He was drugging women and taking advantage of them. And everyone agreed it was wrong. Now, there's some IG post out there with a very popular rapper personality out there, Cardi B, where she admitted that when she was stripping and she was prostituting, which is illegal, she would drug men and rob them and take advantage of the situation. That's a pretty heinous crime if you think of it from the vantage point of what if that was a man doing it. I mean, I think the public outcry would be overwhelming if that happened.
I think, yeah, and I think here's the deal, man. Like, drugging someone and putting them in a situation where they're not in control anymore and anything could happen to them is incredibly irresponsible and harmful and cruel.
Yes.
I know that Cardi B is not saying she sexually assaulted anybody, and I do understand there's a difference.
Yes,
I get
is.
That there's a difference. Yes. What I'm saying is there's a difference, sure, but it's still horrible.
Yes, it is.
Because here's the thing, man. You wake up after being drugged, you don't know what happened to you.
And you never will.
And you never will.
Yeah.
And you can't gain back... like, there's every... So, any of these guys... And I know she was saying these guys solicited her for sex and other stuff. Okay, trust me, man.
But that doesn't mean they deserve...
Yes, that's like saying I raped a hooker because, you know what? You know, she sells... No, there's no deserving of it.
No.
I get it. I get it. It is not the same. Trust me. You'll take a soundbite of this. Miguel's saying it's exactly the same. No, I'm not. What I'm saying is it's basically... You have done something to somebody and you've changed their life in a way... that they don't know what happened to them. They never will know. And there's a lot of fear. And you know, the same way that when like, if a man gets attacked going to his car in an alley, that guy's probably going to feel weird about alleys for the rest of his life.
Yes.
And sure, somebody's going to make a joke. Well, these guys, they hired her for sex, so hopefully they feel weird about hiring her for sex. Sure.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Also, they're going to feel weird about getting a drink from anybody they've never gotten a drink for before.
Yeah, exactly right.
We all know, I've known many girls who have found themselves in situations where they were taken advantage of and hurt, and some of them have been drugged, and some of them have been drugged, and they don't think anything's happened, but they never know, and they carry the baggage of wondering
what
happened to them.
Yes.
I mean, it's disgusting. You can't, and I will say this too. I know that Cardi hasn't been celebrating this. This is something that came out from her past.
Like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, and she's stated now that she doesn't want to glorify it, that she doesn't think it was right. My outrage right now isn't towards Cardi B. My outrage is towards us for how we're accepting this.
A lot of women are like, yeah, that's what you had to do, queen. I'm like, whoa, that is
not you never
what
had,
you
to,
had
do
to do
it. Look, man, I'm going to tell you this one. I'm a huge fan of hip-hop.
Yeah.
But I will never justify. Jay-Z has a good line. You can't justify genocide. I'll never sit there and be like, hey, man, you had to sell crack. I get it. You did do that.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Yeah.
And I get it. but we're not going to glorify it. But to Cardi B's situation, it's not cool at all.
No.
It's not cool. And I'm not asking, and I'm not trying to say, you see, women, we got it just as bad.
No, man, look.
I get it. Like I said, I know many women in my life that I care and love about who have been victim of sexual assault, and I don't know that many guys who have. I know that a lot of men report it less, but I still think statistically I know less guys that has been to. So I know that a woman's life contains struggles and obstacles that I can't fathom.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that these men who were drugged deserved to be drugged.
No.
Because no one deserves to be drugged and put in a situation where they don't know what happened to them and anything. You leave this drugged person and they die, you're responsible for their
death. And that was my thing. I'm thinking, like, what if someone has an adverse reaction to something you're giving them?
Yeah.
You don't know what they may be allergic to or how their system handles it. What if one of those guys died? Your life is now over.
Let me tell you this, Rich. Imagine there was a really, really annoying person in this room who, like we got this guest or something.
No, Devin left.
No, we got this guest and they won't shut up. They're super annoying. So I go, you know what? I'm just going to drug this guy so he'll shut up.
Yeah.
And then I drug him and he shuts up and he's not annoying anymore.
Yeah.
Are we cool with that?
No.
Hell no.
No, man.
Because we don't drug people.
Yeah. That should be rule number one.
Yeah.
don't drug anybody.
We don't drug people. Rule number one, look both ways. Rule number two, we don't drug people. You know?
That's awesome.
We don't drug people.
Yes.
It's wrong.
And I saw an interesting meme that came up and I just was crying because it was on point.
Yeah.
It said Cardi B is just Bill Cosby with breasts.
Yeah. Yeah, man, we don't drug people.
We don't. Yeah, man. That's
insanity. I'm going to tell you this much. Had Bill Cosby never sexually assaulted any of those women and just drugged them, he still should be in prison.
Yes.
That's the thing. He still should be in prison. Because you don't take away people's ability to make decisions and choose for themselves.
Amen.
And
amen.
When you do that like that, man, you don't do that.
And that's the weird thing is, it not the fact she did it, because I know what she's saying is, look, I said that, and I'm a different person now. I don't do any of those things. But what got me, what made me creepy was all the women were like, girl, you go hit. Like, they were, like, glorifying it, saying, man, yeah, that's what you got to do.
There was a lot of people getting
good
on
for,
it.
They were like, yo, good for those dudes, because they were asking for sex. I'm like, but she was selling it.
Yeah.
She was selling that.
I mean, it goes to my thoughts on, like, raping a prostitute, man. Just because she's selling sex.
Doesn't mean you can take it.
Doesn't mean you can take it. And just because these guys are buying sex from you doesn't mean that you get the right to drug them.
And take away
and
their freedom.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
And let's be honest, I mean, the guys who got robbed, they're not going to the cops.
Yeah, they're not going to the cops.
They're never
going to
come out and say, I was robbed by Cardi B. Some fan might, like, yo, it was dope. She was spitting lyrics.
Yeah.
Spitting lyrics and I went to sleep.
Yeah, she's rocked me to sleep.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. And I mean, I think this what happens in this kind of argument is the easy way to get out of it is to try to juxtapose her and Bill Cosby together.
Yeah.
Because we know Bill Cosby did something evil.
He did. I mean, he was taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
Like, he was really taking advantage of.
They're just because it's lesser evil doesn't make it not evil.
Doesn't mean it's not evil. And I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Because I think, and this is just me putting my opinion out there. Please don't. Well, no, you can get mad if you want. If it was a man that did this, we'd be crucifying him right now.
Yeah, rightfully so.
We would cancel him.
Yes, rightfully so.
He would be
too.
Getting canceled right now.
He would. Yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal, man. And just take yourself for one second, man. Just look at any guy you know that you like, that you're friends with, or anything. And imagine you walked in the room and they were passed out, drugged, unresponsive. You, as a person who loves them, going to be freaking out.
Yeah, you are.
You'd be terrified.
Yeah,
what's
going
on? You're going to call 911. 911. 911's going to be responding now to a call that they don't need to respond to because this person never needed to be drugged.
That's right.
There's a lot of things. But besides all that, it's just evil to drug somebody to drug somebody to force them to do something they don't want to do.
Amen.
And that's it. It's evil
to do. It just sounds creepy that way. And I'll say this about fellas too. Fellas, stop taking your ass to the strip club trying to pay for hookers. Stop that.
Yeah, man.
Take your ass out of there, okay?
Yeah. Go somewhere nice in me to lay, like a pumpkin patch or a library.
or where did Kraft go?
Yeah, yeah.
Go get a massage at an Asian massage place, right?
No, man. That's with the Cardi B situation, I think it's inexcusable. And I know people are going to be like, I get it. No, I get it. I get it.
Yeah, I know the game. I get it. Yeah.
Well, all I'm saying is we as a people need to say it is inexcusable for anyone to drug another person to take advantage of them in any way.
Yeah.
In any way.
In any capacity.
And wrong. Yeah, there's lesser evils and greater evils, sure.
Yeah. Totally.
But at the end of the day, is it still evil? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, don't do nasty stuff. Okay. And I will say this. I've never been to a strip club. I've never been in that environment. I do know that there's a lot of strippers who also do that on the side. That's how they get their hustle.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that, I'm not saying they all drug. I'm saying some of them are willing to go an extra mile to get more money.
Oh, yeah. There's always one or two girls that
they'll break some rules.
Yeah.
Turn a trick and whatnot like that. But I don't think, and I'm just going to say this, I don't think the majority of them are doing what Cardi did.
No. I mean, God, no, man. I mean, even the majority of girls at strip clubs aren't even turning tricks, man. You know,
they're just trying to make their money.
They're just making legal money.
Legal money.
They're making legal money. But that's the thing, man. I mean, you just nobody should be drugging anybody to get a result from them that the person's not willing to do when they're sober.
Exactly right.
And that's it. And that's it.
Gotcha.
Because it's just, you know. You don't. I can only imagine what it's felt like for a woman or man to wake up after being drugged and try to piece the night together.
In a hotel room, you don't know quite where you're at. You're feeling around like, oh, God.
Do I have a kidney still?
Do I have a kidney gone? Yeah. Dear God. Is somebody coming to kill me? Like, you just don't know at that moment. But I will tell you this. I'm sure if I'm a man that woke up in that situation, that is the last prostitute I try to solicit.
No.
I'm done.
No, that guy's... He ain't done.
You don't think
it's like,
so?
No, it's like junkies who wake up from an overdose. They don't quit.
I don't know. Casey, let me ask you, man. You're a dude. Mm-hmm. You're like, man, I found this really hot stripper who's willing to, you know, for a few $100 go, you know, take me to the hotel room. And you go there with her and she drugs you. You wake up. You're like, what the hell happened? You're robbed. You don't have your, you know, your money. Your keys are gone and whatnot. Are you going to go back?
To the strip club?
Not the same club.
Not the club?
Yeah.
Are you going to go back? Are you going to try to solicit a stripper again after that experience?
See, because you got to take yourself out of this. You guys are already the guys who would never do it.
Ah, okay.
So you got to put, it's almost like if you almost got caught for a bank robbery, would you ever do it? Me, you, Casey? No. Bank robbers? Yeah, I'm going back.
Yeah, I'm going back. Yeah,
I'm a bank robber.
It's what I do.
It's what I do.
That's it. It's what I do. I hire hookers, baby.
Yeah, baby.
It's part of the game.
You get burnt when you ride the rodeo, you know?
Casey, you've been to strip clubs, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been offered by a stripper? Like, have you ever went to one and she's like, hey, if you give me this, I can...
No, if she did, she was completely talking in euphemisms that I didn't completely understand, maybe. I don't know.
She's like, hey, how would
but
you
But anyway,
like...
you were out $200 at the end of the
That's
day,
right.
Casey.
How would you like me to solve your Rubik's Cube?
Nope.
I'm just trying to get some boop, you know? I don't need any help
She's
with that.
She's trying to get a euphemism, but you're like, no, I just want to get...
I just want to get laid.
Yeah. You ever had a crossword puzzle you couldn't finish? I can do that.
I can never finish it.
I can never do it. Oh, you ever had a pie, a whole pie, and you can't eat the whole thing? I can help with that. You're like, no, I just want to hit it.
Yeah. Madam, I'm not even hungry. And we're gonna buy sex or what? Good Lord, it's Cardi B made it so simple.
I know, right?
Yeah, thank you for the drink too.
This is gonna be bad, but I gotta say this: How could you listen to Cardi try to solicit you? Have you heard her talk?
Oh my God!
Could you imagine,
James? You don't listen to strippers. You're so adorable. You're so adorable.
How do you know that? You just got that look?
They're yelling in your, hey, hon.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. They get five words in, they touch your junk and
it's so
make a dollar sign.
In here.
Yeah. Do you want to go somewhere quiet? Like your car?
Or this hotel room is conveniently located right outside.
Hotel room? You get fancy ones, James.
Motel.
I'm sorry. I'm talking
Geo Metro.
Yeah.
Geo Metro.
Yeah. Alley behind a pizza place. You got 20 minutes to your calzones ready. We can go twice.
Wait, 3 minutes for cuddling, please. That's funny. I just imagine Cardi B coming up to you like, hey, how you doing? Oh, grr, you want to...
Writing the police report. She made like a kookaburra sound, and then a high-pitched noise.
And then everything went dark, officer.
Yeah, I woke up. I didn't have a chain.
I didn't have anything on, no clothes. Only thing that was there was my belt and her demo.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked it.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, if you can find this girl, I want her again. Thanks. You guys are great.
Could why don't you tie this off?
Yeah. And I didn't know this, guys. When you get your wallet stolen, it hurts your butt. That's weird. Why does that correlate? Man, somebody steals your identity, it feels like they put a thumb inside you. Anyway,
oh, my God.
That's weird, huh? Maybe you guys can explain. No? Never? No one else? That's weird.
Why do I have a ball gag?
Yeah.
That's awful. Guys, don't go back. More debauchery when the Real Laughs return. Everybody, this is James Young with Miguel Colon Jr., my partner in crime, and we're just here to let you guys know, if you're looking for quality advertisement, there's no other place you should look than Real Laughs. All you guys have to do if you want to get in on this is just hit us up on our email at reallaughs@gmail.com. If you want to give us a private message on Facebook, anything you need, we're here to help you out.
Real Laughs has some of the best numbers on social media right now. We're growing, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. So reach out to us and be one of our sponsors so that we can help get your brand in to hundreds of thousands of homes.
Yes, yes, everybody. You have tuned back into Real Laughs. It is hump day. That's right, Wednesday. Don't forget to go to iTunes. Subscribe to us under the podcast section. We are Real Laughs. You can always go to iHeart as well. Catch up with all our latest episodes and all the things you've missed, all the hilarity under Real Laughs as well. Devin's out for the rest of the week, so you're stuck with me, James John. I am joined in studio with Miguel Colon Jr.
What up?
Yeah.
What up?
Oh, there it is. Okay, got also got Casey. Casey in here too. That was funny, man. Now Wednesday, man, hump day, middle of the week. We're almost to Friday. Now, what are we going to talk to these lovely folks about? I don't want to talk about something real quick, guys. I want to talk about. Okay, we do this process. I think I talked about it earlier in the week. We do this process where we get to do a hosting audition for people who want to get into hosting and comedy and whatnot. Your first thing you do when you get to comedy, do open mics. Then your second logical step, you start hosting. We got people from all walks of life. We got people from all walks of all different ages and whatnot. And it's always interesting auditioning process in anything that you do. Like, Casey, have you ever auditioned for anything?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you audition for?
A lot of music stuff.
Oh, cause you play instruments as well, right?
Yeah.
What do you play?
Piano, trumpet, guitar, bass, and...
Damn, yeah. Brother, you are talented. I did not know you played that many instruments, man. That's dope. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you auditioned for, like, school stuff? Was this college, or what were the bands?
All of the above.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Now, how are you in taking the audition when it comes to the fact after they'll critique you or tell you how you did? How are you at taking criticism?
I take it pretty well, I think. But okay. Most of the auditions I go in, they don't give you the feedback right then and there.
Okay, that's different. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. But yeah. When they did give it, how did it come? Would it come over the phone call? Was it... You go back in front of them, or how does that work?
In school, a lot we got evaluation sheets.
Okay,
we'd go in for an audition. They'd write all their comments down on a sheet, and they'd grade you, and you get to read all of their comments and critiques.
So let me ask you this: Was there a person in band and school and whatnot that would not take his critique well, would flip the hell out?
Yeah,
you laughed.
Yeah,
or people, you're just like, man, Johnny's gonna see his score, and he's gonna
man this guy don't know I'm a god.
Yeah, you're a god. You're a god.
Yeah.
Trying to get a job from him. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's how God's work. Now, I will tell you this. Miguel can back me up. Auditioning processes for comedians are awful.
Oh, yeah.
It's awful because you can go, like, for AGT, a great show, great mm-hmm. platform for a friend of the show's, Peter Lawson, did very well on them. But when you go audition, what they don't tell you, you don't do it in front of an audience. You do it in a room of other people that are contestants who are not paying attention to you. They're worried about their own set and about three producers that are there. So your job is to do your set like you would do it in a comedy club in front of three people
mm-hmm.
and act like nothing weird is going on. And if they don't laugh either, like they're not there to laugh. They're there to evaluate would you work on TV.
Yeah.
So you have to keep doing your act like everything's great. Everything's fine. Now, I will tell you this. Comedians are the worst at taking criticism. I don't know if you knew that. And we do host auditions, like right after the people go on, we will have them come over one by one and we will talk to them how they did. You talk about meltdowns. You talk about people losing their proverbial S. Okay. Comedians do not take critique very well because we're all geniuses in our head. We all are writing the next special that's going to put them on the map. We are the next Jerry Seinfeld or Chris Rock or Kevin Hart. And you, how dare you tell me that my best joke about rape is not funny? Like, stuff like that. Because new comics write dark stuff, and then you have to tell them, look, you're going to be an MC. You're trying out to be a host. You can't tell these dirty jokes. You got to be the cleanest person.
You don't understand my humor.
Exactly. Yes.
You don't understand me, James Yawn, booked 45 weeks out of the year.
What do you know?
I'm a comedian.
Yes. Well, I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. Why would you ever ask me a question?
I have 5 YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And my mom liked every one
How
of them.
How dare you?
How dare you? I have 14 views. Okay. Do you have that?
20.
20. Yes. Yes. But I've had people melt down at audition process. I had people, when I tell them they didn't make it because they were something that we were not looking for. And here's the thing, too. I'll say this. I'll preface it by this. We have a meeting with all these people before we do the actual auditions, and we tell them exactly what we're looking for. We tell them exactly what we don't want. Here's the criteria, boundaries that you need to work within, right? Yeah. We give him a chance.
I'll change his mind.
Yeah. Yes. He doesn't. Yeah. He may have said not to do this kind of joke, but he's never heard mine. I'm going to change his mind. I've had one dude get so upset. He got in his car. He was big. He was a thug guy. You know, he thought he was a thug guy. He was so upset with me. He did what every thug does when they're upset. No, he didn't do a drive-by. He didn't threaten me. He made a video about how I don't know what I'm talking about.
Internet gangsters talking loose on the YouTube.
Yes, for 15 minutes long, telling me how I don't know what I'm talking about. I make way
James
more money.
James Yawn is garbage.
Garbage.
Hot garbage. Garbage. With no R in the beginning.
Yes. That video aged well.
It did not.
It did That's not. Weird. I thought it would be another Raw.
All right. No. Everybody who watched it was like, no, you don't know what James actually does. Because he said, James doesn't do anything in the comedy.
I'm James like, don't do nothing.
I'm like, what?
I'm like, bro, why can't we be friends?
So last Monday we did auditions again. Let me tell you, people are not ready to hear no. That's why Cardi drugged them. Yo, baby, I want to get with you. I want you to take you over here. You know, I'm gonna give you some money. Da, da, da. No, sir. No, I really mean that. I want to take you over. Okay, I'll go. Here's a drink.
Yeah. Boy, let somebody drug their dog because it's barking too much, and America will flip
whoa,
out.
Whoa, yeah, that's passing the line you do yeah. to a dog. But if your kid's annoying you and they're 8 years old, codeine's fine.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that.
A little Benadryl don't kill.
A little whiskey on the, you know, the actual bottle, it's fine.
Pillow to the face.
Whoa. Oh, no.
Kursi. Oh, no, SIDS. It can happen when they're 12. It can happen anytime. We'll just move on from it. You learn.
Oh, man. Yeah, so we have good times doing that. Shout out to all the comics who took my advice well, and you only cried. Shout out to the ones who flipped the table over. That's fine as well.
Are there times when you see somebody walking up?
I know.
And already. You're rooting for them, but you're just like, come on, buddy. You never pass.
Yeah.
Don't do the same, and they come with the same jokes.
They do. And here's the thing. When I see a comic try it over and over again, and I know they didn't go well, I give them an out.
Yeah.
When they're coming over to be, you know, get their critique, I say, hey, man, how do you think you did? And that's when they can gracefully say, hey, man, I didn't get them tonight. It wasn't my night. I didn't have a good set. But no, the crazy takes over, and they're like, I think I did great. You're like,
what do you think makes them think it was great?
And that's when you look at them like, what? Say that again? I think I did great.
I did a show, one of those little, like a little showcase, like our Hourglass showcase with some guys. And nobody was getting any laughs, really.
No.
And me and a couple other comics went up, and we did
well. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And just, I talked to all the comics, and everyone was like, yeah, it was the crowd, man, because that and the three guys who sucked are just like, oh, yeah, totally, because, I mean, just it's like, nah, man, it was you, bro.
Bruh, it was
and
you.
And it doesn't mean it's you all the time.
No, it means that night.
Bad game.
Yeah.
Bad game. Watch the game tape.
Because I think you told me the headliner went on and destroyed.
Oh, that show. Yeah, that was another one. But yeah, that was another destroyed. One. The headliner destroyed, and everybody else was like, oh, it was the room. It was not the room.
No, it wasn't the room, bro.
No.
You know who that was? You know, you smell that stinking? That's you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to take a bath.
Put that stank on it. Stank on you.
Yeah, man. So I'm telling you, Casey, you should see some of the comics, man. We have some people that we know that delusion is in, it spreads. It spreads. Like, you didn't get any laughs, but you thought you did great.
Yeah.
I did great. And my, to me,
the audience isn't smart enough.
Yeah, the audience wasn't smart enough.
A lot of times that happens when you talk to a new comic who wants to do time, and like you guys were saying.
You got to tell them no.
Yeah, they'll be like, you'll be like, all right, man, what's your stuff like? And they'll start being like, well, you know, I go really weird and dark, and sometimes the audience doesn't get it. Okay, so it's not good.
Yeah.
So it's not good, you know?
So you're telling me that the audience doesn't like it, but you want me to give you time.
Imagine you're a baker.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's your special cake like? Well, it tastes gross.
But artistically?
But artistically, it looks like crap. However, it's the journey for me baking it.
Which is the real experience I want my audience to get.
But it's very crappy looking and tastes gross.
Yes. But.
Journey.
I littered it with cliches.
Yeah.
And F-bombs.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
I wouldn't feed this to a dying dog.
Dog.
But. Also, the dog wouldn't understand it.
And can I get some time on stage?
Yeah.
Absolutely, man.
Hey, Margaret, when can I feature?
Yeah. And that's the hardest part for us. We've said this before, but the hardest part is not only when you do auditions and you got to tell people the truth, because I don't want to do it in a way where it comes off as me, you know, that guy's being a dick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I try doing it in a way like, hey, man, I understand where you're at. You're new, but these are the things you need to work on before I can put my name on you. Always make it me.
Like, oh,
I
can't, you don't want to hear that.
Yeah, I can't put my name on you. If I don't think you're ready, and that's my opinion of it. They do not want to hear that. And I love the people who try to negotiate with me.
They're like
James. I get what you're saying. I understand, but you know that one time you saw me, it was good. I'm like, yeah, that one time.
No, it wasn't, bro.
I give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, yeah, that one time might have been good, but. Here's the thing with comedy. I need you to be consistent.
Yeah.
He's like, I need to be funny every time? I'm like, yes!
3 out of 10 shows, I just really kill.
Let me ask you, James, would that be the case if I was white?
I'm like...
You are white.
You are white.
Oh, damn.
Oh, damn. No. I mean on the inside.
Yeah.
On the inside, bro. Yeah, man. So I love that. And here's the hard part, too. Like, Miguel's a booker.
Yeah.
He books a great room. And the crazy part is people who don't pass auditions, people who you see bomb all the time, will be like, Miguel, I heard you book a room. And he's like, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
And they're like, yo, when can I come work? When you get funny.
Yeah.
Hey, let me get five minutes.
Yeah.
Casey, that'd be 5 minutes. Yeah.
I've never done it before, but let me get
let me get 5 minutes.
Casey, that's whatever, man. We take up so much of your time. If you want to do a damn hour. Whatever, Casey.
Whatever keeps you
showing up to work, bro.
Yes. Go ahead.
I was just saying, every time Casey shows up to work, I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. Dope.
He still hasn't got a better offer yet.
Dope. Oh, we just got a. We have a comedy group. It's called the Orlando Comedy Scene, and there was
the all new Orlando.
The all new.
We had to get a new one because we broke the old one.
And let me tell you something. Whenever we start with a spicy topic and it gets like 300 comments and it's going crazy. Ryan Holmes, one of the administrators, will change the picture from Orlando to a dumpster on fire.
Yes. When it gets heated and everybody starts getting out of control, talking crazy, next thing you know, the profile picture is a dumpster burning.
And here was the latest drama. There was a booker out of Tampa who got on there and said, hey guys, who are the latest features and headliners so I can offer them work, okay? I can offer them work at my new club that I'm booking, right? Seems simple and harmless, right, Casey?
Mm-hmm.
Then Ken Miller, who is known as the godfather of Orlando comedy, got on and said, here's my list that I think you would do well by hiring these people. Here's a list of features and headliners, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a girl that used to live here that moved, I think, to Hawaii. And she saw the post because she's still in the group. And she was livid with Ken because there was only one girl on the list of 10 people that Ken sent. She goes, excuse me? Do you mean to tell me there's only one funny person that's a woman? Can Orlando not do better than that? And Ken's like, what are you talking about? That's just the funny people that I know that I put my name on the work. But where I come from in Hawaii, 50% of the comics are women, okay?
And the funny thing is, too, like you said, they asked Ken for new headliners.
Yes.
So it wasn't even like he was saying, these are all the headliners in town.
Yes.
These are the new ones I know.
Yeah, she's like, how dare you? Women are funny. And I'm like, well, keep lying to yourself. But no. I'm joking. No. But the fact, she's like, why don't you have 50%? Like, how do we control as men if there's not 50% of the women out there trying to be comedians in our scene? How did we get blamed for that? Like, what are you guys doing as tyrants there that you're oppressing women by not letting them be funny? Like, I can control their knock-knock jokes or whatever they're telling. I have no power. I don't even, you're talking to James. I have no power at home. Okay.
It's like the Goblin King. You have no power over me.
Yes.
Power over me. Your eyes can be so cruel.
Everything I do for you. I move the sky for no one.
I'm like, how is this dude dressed like a woman and he's the most masculine thing I've ever seen?
Gotcha. Well, guys, we were actually running out of town here. Out of time.
They're running us out of town. Okay. Get on out of here, Real Laughs. Get on out of here.
Now, don't forget to listen to Real Laughs every Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to 10. Don't forget to go to iTunes. Always listen on iHeart app if you can't listen live. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.